More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, baggage claim. Are you still carrying old wounds and unhealthy patterns from the past? Let us help you decide what to keep and what baggage you can leave on the carousel. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, baggage claim. We're talking about those old things that we all carry around with us, those old patterns that we have a hard time escaping that tend to trip us up. We want to help you decide what to keep and what baggage you can leave on that carousel. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Yeah, you might be going, well, what do you mean you leave it on the carousel? Look, airports have these. I know we do at our airport, our international airport. Every year they have an auction, and you can come in and just bid on zillions of things that people have just left behind that you might think are worthwhile, but they obviously didn't think were worthwhile enough to claim them. And this is really about that. What's worthwhile keeping? What is a good thing to just leave behind? And somebody else can work it out if they need to. So we're asking you today, are you carrying around an old hurt? Maybe someone who was supposed to love you let you down in some way. Maybe you catch yourself falling into old patterns that you grew up with, ones you would swore you would never repeat, and you don't know how to break that cycle. Maybe you've tried to let go, but the old feelings keep coming back, and you keep repeating the cycle. Let us help you check that old baggage for good. Today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And the fact is, you know, all of us deal with this because is kind of part of being human. I mean, we all go through experiences where we were disappointed by somebody or something, where we find ourselves repeating old patterns in our life that, you know, we get frustrated about and can tend to just sort of throw our hands up in the air and say, well, I guess it's the way it just is. Yeah. But that's not what we're called to. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas writes about this, and he talks about the word is pusillanimous, and it means living a
say
small...
Say that again.
Pusillanimous.
Thank you.
Yeah, pusillanimity.
Wow.
Is the adjectival form of the word.
This just keeps getting harder and harder,
yeah,
but okay.
Yeah. Words to enrich your word, it pays to enrich your word power, but yeah, no, so it's a word that means living a small life.
Mm.
Living a life that is limited by either sin or the things that have happened to us, as opposed to a magnanimous life, he said, and again, his word, magnanimity.
Thomas Aquinas again.
So. Magnanimity being a life that leans on grace and allows God's grace to let us flourish and thrive regardless of what we've been through. And so, you know, this is not just me or us or St. John
Paul.
Or
modern psychology.
This is the church's teachings,
yeah,
that we are called to live a large and grace-filled life, not defined by the setbacks we've experienced or the sins that we've committed or the habits or patterns that we fall into. And granted, we don't do that on our own. I want to be clear about that.
We need the grace to be able to do it.
And we need to be patient as God works in us to make those things happen. It's not, we don't force it on our own power.
Yeah, and it doesn't happen in a single second. But I can attest to this. I really can. Because I remember when our our oldest kids were little. I think our oldest daughter was around 4. And I don't remember what happened, but it wasn't great. You know, she was just not behaving well. And I had this reaction. Don't worry, it wasn't a violent reaction in any way, but it was an internal reaction that I didn't like. And through the grace of the Holy Spirit, I was sort of given this vision. I almost like mentally stepped out of my body and could watch myself repeating verbal patterns and a tone that was my mother parenting our daughter.
Oh, wow. Well.
And now, my mother wasn't a horrible person, but she had carried a lot of her own wounds and passed down a lot of her own wounds. And I knew in that second that the Holy Spirit was saying, nope, this is not what I want for these kids. This is not what I want for you. You know, pray, lean on me. You can change this pattern of this tone and these kinds of words. And from that day on, I worked very hard to do that. I was able to tap into that because I didn't just try to do it on my own. I really leaned into leaning on God, asking him how he wanted me to do it differently. And it was, I mean, a matter of 5 minutes that really changed everything for me in terms of responding to behavior that I didn't approve of in our kids and didn't want for our kids. So some patterns are easier than others to break. You know, we hear this all the time with people who are dealing with addictions. I know a few people who in one moment of God suddenly felt healed. And then I know many people who have to work through it day by day, moment by moment, so that they can choose to walk on the road of healing with God's grace every day. And that's any kind of wound, any kind of baggage that we're carrying. But when we invite God in, it gives us the tools to start moving in the right direction.
That's right. And even if it takes a lifetime, God never wants us to give up. And he always wants us to lean into what's possible through his grace, not just what we can see through our own fallen, damaged, sinful eyes. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about overcoming those old hurts, the feelings of resentment or unforgiveness or frustration that remain even after those hurts are over or those people are out of our life, overcoming those old patterns that we feel stuck in. We're talking about leaving baggage behind today on our show titled Baggage Claim, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, it's reasonable to ask, how can some theology possibly help us deal with our baggage? Thing is, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a couple of huge questions that relate directly to our topic here. Namely, he wanted to know, what would it look like to put forth a Catholic vision of thriving, of really, what does it mean to flourish as a person? And what does it mean to have the kind of relationships that can fulfill the longings of our heart and bear witness to the power of God's love and grace in the world? And his answer to those questions became what we now call the theology of the body.
And it reminds us that we are not the sum of our wounds or our negative experiences that we've endured. Regardless of what we have been through, our true identity is rooted in the fact that we are God's beloved sons and daughters, and that God is working to help us to, as St. John Paul put it, become what we are, which is the whole, healed, godly, and grace-filled people that our Heavenly Father sees when he looks at us.
Amen. You know, and look, that doesn't mean pretending that we haven't been through painful, difficult, or I mean, even in some cases, traumatic experiences. True. We need to respect those experiences. But it does mean that while those experiences might be chapters in our story, we need to remember that God is still writing the ending and that he's promised that it will be wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we're not defined by the painful chapters in our life, but rather by the amazing work that God is doing in us to heal and transform that strength, or that pain, excuse me, into strength and wholeness and something beautiful.
Christ still carried his wounds on his hands and feet after his resurrection, but they meant something very different than they did when he was on the cross. Similarly, we can acknowledge the past hurts we carry, But we have to resist the temptation to defer to them when it comes to the decisions we make or the kind of life we choose to live. Instead of saying, I can't do this or be that because of thus and such experience, we can ask God daily, Lord, help me to see myself through your eyes. And in everything I do, help me lean into the strong, healthy, virtuous person you are calling me to be.
And then, you know, as we go through our day, we can ask, okay, what are the virtues I need to respond to this situation and this situation and this one in a way that brings out the best in me, invites the people around me to be their best, and ultimately enables me to witness the power of God's grace and love in my life. Because that's what it means to become what we are, as St. John Paul put it, to be the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people that God sees when he looks at us and is working to help us become again through his grace. Well, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Baggage Claim, as we talk about how to let go of both old wounds and the patterns that tend to cause us to feel stuck in our life, in our relationships. Give us a call. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to leave the baggage behind. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we ask you for the grace to deal with those old wounds, disappointments, and old patterns that we feel stuck in. Help us, on the one hand, to not accept that that is our destiny, and to help us become what we are, the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people you created us to be. And yet also help us to remember that it's not our job to just get ourselves there on our own, or to beat ourselves up when we fail, but rather to trust you, the divine physician, to heal us one step at a time, while we work our spiritual treatment plan of participating in the sacraments and bringing our wounds to you and asking you how to lean into the virtues that help us define and discover who we are. Help us to have that healthy, grace-filled attitude toward the experiences we've been through so that we can see that those experiences don't define us, but your grace and love do. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Baggage Claim, as we talk about how we tend to carry those old wounds or patterns, and let's look at how we can leave those things behind and let God's grace help us become what we are, as St. John Paul put it, the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people he created us to be. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Pat, who's listening in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Pat. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Hi. It's really weird that I should be talking to you because I actually hung up the phone because I thought, oh, I don't have time for this. And then when I pulled onto the drive, I'm driving, I pushed the button and it came back up again.
So oh, God.
Well, the Holy Spirit really wants you to get this question out today, Pat. Okay. So God's doing something. Okay. So tell us what's going on in your life.
So when I was in third grade, I remember this back all the way in third grade. Maybe I had it before then. I just remember everybody's holding hands in a circle. And the girl said in the middle, said, I like everybody here. And I said to myself, except for me. Well, I carried that all the way through my life. I feel that way about everybody, and maybe and because of that, I don't have the same love for people that I should have because I already think they don't like me, so I'm not liking them the way I should. You know, it doesn't stop there. So I could use your help.
So it's really become a burden for you, both in your interior heart and mind, but also in your life, in your social life, too.
Pat, God bless you. I want to thank you so much for calling in with this. And I really want to give praise to the Holy Spirit for not letting you hang up today, because I do think that there's an important message for you here. And we all have those core memories. I mean, as you're talking, I remember many, many lessons I learned about myself, unpleasant lessons I learned about myself from gym classes in grade school.
Third grade was rough.
And the bullying I received in grade school.
Yeah, I had one girl who really tried to take me down in third grade with her words a lot. So I think every human has some struggle with this idea because childhood is rough and it leaves a mark.
So, but here's something that I want you to really reflect on, and I'm going to give you some insights and maybe some tools to move forward with this, okay? So, St. Ignatius of Loyola has a whole set of spiritual exercises that help us learn to lean into the messages of the Holy Spirit that St. Ignatius called consolations, and how to resist and reject messages from the enemy that seek to hold us back from being the person God wants us to be. He called those desolations. And a consolation is any thought, impulse, memory, experience, feeling, whatever, that challenges us or motivates us to draw closer to God and be more of the person God is calling us to be. So to lead a meaningful and intimate and virtuous life that God is calling us to lead. The desolation, though, is a voice of the enemy that kind of whispers in our spiritual ear. And he can call to mind certain memories or experiences, certain thoughts, impulses, messages.
Just feelings. He can just bring up feelings and that just make us feel less than we should be.
And it's not, you know, there's no great, but it's just a whispering in our spiritual ear, right? Mm-hmm. It's not something that we can't resist. It's just there. And we have a tendency to think that because it's in our head, it's us. But it's not. You know, 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about how we hold every thought captive in obedience to Christ, to make it obedient to Christ. And the idea being here that thoughts pass into our head all the time, but we always have to test them. And so this core memory that you have, being in third grade and feeling like the other kids didn't like you, and then letting that be sort of an organizing principle of your life, that was the enemy whispering that thought into your ear, saying, you know, everybody except you. They like everybody except you. And he's continued to whisper that in your spiritual ear.
That's an outright lie.
When we do that, when we listen to that desolation, we accidentally make the enemy the lord of that part of our life. And I want us to all sit with that. Now again, when I...
Accidentally.
Yeah, this is not, you didn't do this on purpose. This is not, you've given your life to Satan. I'm
no,
not saying that.
No, this is not a grave sin. This is accidentally falling into a pattern that is allowing the enemy to have control over that part of your life without you even realizing.
It's like if you asked anybody for advice and you took their advice, you would be giving that person lordship over that part of your life. Well, in the same kind of way, when we listen to the desolations the enemy whispers in our spiritual ear, we let the enemy tell us who to be and how to live. And so through this core memory, that's what's happening. The enemy would kind of whisper it in your spiritual ear there, and from that point, he continues to whisper in your ear, saying that other people don't like you and you should live accordingly. Now, that's a desolation because it doesn't help you become more the woman that God created you to be or have the life that God is wanting you to live, even though it's a very powerful thing. But I think recognizing that that's a desolation, that that's a voice from the enemy, enables you to start to come against it and to lean into the truth, which is that God made you for others. And yes, some people might not like you and some people will, but that doesn't have anything to do with your worth as a beloved daughter of God, and that God still wants you to live accordingly by looking for little ways that you can be a blessing to others, use your gifts to make a positive difference in the lives of others, that you can look for ways to draw closer to others, even when it's scary or even when it's a little bit hurtful. It's still worth building those relationships. And so by recognizing that that's the consolation of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. that he's created you for relationship and that he's given you the tools to build relationship, and he wants you to lean into that and really resist that core message that the enemy has been whispering in your spiritual ear since third grade, that nobody, you know, that nobody likes you and that you should go be by yourself. By resisting that, you can start to flourish and bloom and blossom the way the Holy Spirit wants you to.
And I really want you to hear what we're saying about inviting God's grace into this. When we say you can start coming against it, not on your own power, God is with you. And Pat, you hung up the phone and here we are. God is trying to break this pattern for you. He gave you really rock solid evidence of that right now. So every time you feel that feeling coming toward you, just say, Lord, I know you want better for me. Show me what my next little step is to move away from this thought pattern and to allow you to heal me and heal my life and make me the person that you created me to be.
And in this moment, help me to know how to be your blessing to this person in front of me, to make a little connection, to find a way to make their life a little bit better, to open my heart a little bit more to them, even in the tiniest way. Show me what I can do right now to be more of the person you're calling me to be and have the kind of relationships you're calling me to have. That's how you come against those false thoughts that the enemy is whispering in your spiritual ear that hold you back from others. And it's going to be a lifelong struggle with this, but every step you take, every tiny step you take to be a little bit more of that blessing, to open up your heart a little bit more, to reach out to others a little bit more, is a small victory that you can continue to build on, and more importantly, that God can continue to build on in your life. I'm really hoping that you'll download the podcast and just keep listening to this answer over and over again as a way of changing that internal dialogue. But if you want more support, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you get the rest of the way with this as well. Pat, thank you so much for the call. I really believe that this is the first day of a new life for you that is rooted more in the consolations that God has in his heart for you as opposed to the desolations that you've been holding on to all this time. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. We'll be joined as well by Father Thomas Loya, who'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on overcoming the baggage we carry. Stick around.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. He once declared, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels." He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, baggage claim. We're talking about leaving behind the old hurts and disappointments, old patterns that we feel stuck in. If you are ready to leave those things behind but not sure how, reach out. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya. He is the founder of the Tabor Life Institute. He's a pastor, a counselor, and expert on the theology of the body. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming. I hope I'm not excess baggage here.
Absolutely not. We want to bring you with us no matter where we go. But so you were talking to us over break about a big word, divinization. What is that, and why should we care?
Divinization. Divinization is similar to word also deification or even theosis. Theosis is a Greek word. You see, the truth of the human person, it's right there in the beginning of the Bible, the truth, and this is the only truth. Everything else is a lie. We are made in the image and likeness of God, male and female. That is the only truth. Anything else is a lie. This could be nothing less or nothing other, made in the image and likeness of God. And because we're human and not God, you know, God, this is a metaphysical principle, God never changes because he's perfect. We are always in the process of changing, always a process of our own becoming, which means we can never allow whatever has happened to us to impede or sort of retard or stop that change, that process of divinization. Divinization means the process of our own becoming like unto God, not equal to God. It's there in the scriptures. 2 Peter verse 4 chapter 1, verse 4. It says that we are called to become partakers of the divine nature, to actually be grafted onto God's nature, not his essence, not equal to him. That is what the lofty call that we have. That's what the eschaton is, eschatology is, deification is, what a lofty call. Well,
and if I could just jump in for a second, the Catechism actually quotes St. Thomas Aquinas and several other doctors of the Church that basically use this, what they call the formula of exchange, which is the Son of God became man so that man might become gods. And what of course we mean by that in the Church is not, like you said, that we're not equivalent with God, but a small g God. In other words, we were created to live forever and to be perfect. And that's what our destiny is, and that is what God is doing and working within us, and that's what we have to keep in mind at all times, and that's what the theology of the body reminds us is our destiny.
Yes, exactly. And that's why St. Irenaeus was the great father of the Church, early father of the Church, said it. God became man so that man might become like unto God, not equal but like him. So that's the first thing you have to have in our heads. We have this lofty creation and call, and it's an ongoing process. Never stop it. So I recommend two things. Avoid what I call slouching into our hurts. We have a tendency to kind of slouch into them, to kind of like, just like imagine yourself slouching into a couch, soft couch. You kind of let the hurts dictate and determine us. Remember always this, movement is medicine. Movement is medicine. Everything must flow. Anything that's healthy on earth must flow. Blood must flow. Air must flow. We have to keep our body moving, and even spiritually and psychologically, keep moving forward. And then, and one way to help with that is to look at our maladies, our hurts, and so on, and see where can they become redemptive. And this is the heart of our whole faith. And that's from Christ on the cross. Christ did that on the cross. He made the worst thing the best thing. And we have to look at our things that way as well, the maladies, so that we keep moving. We don't let anything stop us or stunt us in that.
I've got to jump in. We've got 10 seconds to go. But if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to taberlife.org. Check it out. And we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Why do we have confession? According to the Catholic Catechism, Christ instituted the sacrament of penance for the sinful members of his Church, especially those who had fallen into grave sin, thus losing their baptismal grace and wounding their ecclesial communion. Over the centuries, the administration of the sacrament has evolved. In the early Church, penitents guilty of particularly grave offenses such as idolatry, murder, adultery, were required to do public penance, sometimes for years before receiving reconciliation. In the 7th century, Irish missionaries, inspired by Eastern monastic tradition, brought the practice of private penance to Europe. This effectively ended public penance before forgiveness, making the sacrament essentially between penitent and priest, as it is today. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
You know that person who just gets under your skin? The one where you've tried being patient, tried to be kind, tried praying about it, and you still end up frustrated every single time. In my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I explain that true Christian love doesn't mean endlessly absorbing another person's bad behavior. Loving someone means working for their ultimate good, and sometimes the most loving thing we can do is set a boundary that says, I want a relationship with you, but I can't pretend that what's happening between us is okay. Setting a healthy boundary is like locking a door to an unsafe staircase. You're not shutting the person out, you're keeping everyone safe. Failing to set an appropriate boundary in a relationship is like not doing your best to prevent someone from walking down those unsafe stairs. In either case, you're not working for their good, and that's just not loving. For more tips on finding peace with the difficult people in your life, see my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, baggage claim. We all carry around old hurts, wounds. We all fall into old patterns that are hard to escape. We want to talk about how to leave all that behind and start claiming the life of grace that God wants for us. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Michelle, who's listening in Virginia.
Michelle, welcome to the show. How can we help you out today?
Hi, thanks. I'm glad a commercial just came on about boundaries, because that is probably a big part of my issue. Why it's about baggage is I grew up, my mom divorced, my parents got divorced, and my mother got into another relationship, but never remarried. And so growing up, I saw kind of, and I had that open-ended feeling of this isn't a final relationship, and I always kind of was unsure how that would go. And I never really thought about it, or, didn't want that for myself. Now, I find myself in that same situation. It's completely different, but I have been in a relationship that went on hiatus for 4 years, but really we've been together for 14 years, and we have two children. That's kind of how it began. We had our first child a year into knowing each other, and then, so now we are here in this situation. I really, it's about discernment. I kind of dive too deep into psychology, so I want to try to figure out what those evil whisperings are versus, okay, this is good, and I'm trying to do the right thing versus I've kind of lost.
So what does that mean in your conversations with your, are you guys living together now, or like what kind of, what's the status of the relationship?
We weren't living together for a long time, but we were still together. We do live together at the time, but we are in separate beds because since become more devout as we've grown.
Okay, good. Good for you. That's a huge step.
And it's a huge step that a lot of people are really afraid to take. So have you discussed the idea of getting married, since you obviously are making steps in positive directions to change this repetitive pattern that you didn't like as a child and don't want for yourself or your kids now?
Yes, well, that's the thing. We were engaged in the very beginning. We were engaged for 5 years. But then there were just things that didn't seem like we were getting married for the right reasons, and I didn't think it was a healthy relationship as far as our connectedness, and I wanted more. There was just so many things going on, but I fear that this was just dragging on because I'm recreating, I'm comfortable in the situation, but not really, so I didn't know if...
So does he want to get married, but you don't, or you're both not sure what to do?
Yeah, he has pushed it and does want to get married, but I feel like so many things need to be discussed and need to be done, and I don't feel like any of those, we don't really, there's no checklist in his back pocket that he feels he needs to do. It's just like, okay, things are going, and now that we live together, it's like, oh, things are going good. It's like, well... there's still all these things, and we do
right,
talk.
Okay.
So I guess it's more. Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask you, Michelle. Like, have you sat down with your checklist? Do you have real conversations about this?
I guess it's come and gone. It's just been such an old hat. Okay. That.
And are you guys praying together about your relationship at all?
Not currently. We have.
Okay. And then other question: are you guys getting any kind of professional help at all?
I think he's afraid of that because right before we were apart for 4 years, we did. And then that kind of led to us
splitting up.
So let's talk through some things that maybe need to happen in order for you guys to get some greater clarity. Okay. So, you know, and there are children involved, yeah. So we want to be sensitive to that. But how do we discern what God's calling a relationship to? We work toward what is toward making it a healthier and holier relationship. It doesn't have to be overnight, you know. And I think part of the fear here too that you're expressing. And I'm not dismissing any of the real concerns that you've got. I don't even know what those concerns are. So just take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. But I also think that it's possible for us to sort of say, well, I need to see that this is perfect before I can, you know, commit to the process. But really, marriage is about recognizing that we're not perfect. We don't know how to love each other. I mean, we have a lot of love in our hearts for each other, mm-hmm. but we don't know how to love each other in ways that are actually loving. We certainly don't know how to love each other the way God wants us to love each other. And so the sacrament of marriage is about healing that. It's about two people recognizing that we don't know how to love each other, but we're willing to learn. And so we are coming to this church because we believe that God instituted this church to teach us how to love the way he wants us to. And we're going to spend our lives learning that. So we're not perfect, but we're willing to do whatever work we need to do to learn to love each other and God and ourselves the way he wants us to. And so as we do that work, right, as you clarify what a healthier relationship would look like, and you clarify whether he is willing to be in that kind of relationship with you, or at least work toward that consistently, even if you guys struggle to make it happen, then you're discerning what God's will is for the relationship. If you, for example, if you go to him and you're saying, we need to be praying together every day, and I want us to have a plan for working out what the status of this relationship is going to be, and he's willing to do that with you, that's a positive step. If that drives him away, if he says, no, I can't do those things because whatever, you know, that's a sign that's not the relationship that God wants for you. But by working toward a healthier and holier relationship consistently, even if you're struggling together to do that, mm-hmm. you're struggling together in grace to do that. But on the other hand, if you're working toward a healthier and holier relationship and the other person is resisting the grace, they're resisting that process and fighting it with tooth and nail, then that's not a relationship that God wants for us. So it's really all about the process, not necessarily, well, it is somewhat about the result, but it's not entirely about, you know, do I need
well,
to see all the results?
The process will get you a result.
Are we truly committed to the process, or are we avoiding the process or just going through the motions of a process?
Now, it's fine, Michelle, if you go to him and you say, we need professional help on this so we can discern this together. We can really come up with a plan. We both can go through our own checklists and see what we can do to make this relationship better, in line with the church, be a relationship between the two of us and God, create the best situation for our children. And he goes, yeah, but Michelle, last time we did that, we ended up apart for 4 years. It's okay for him to be nervous, but he needs to be able to say, I'm really nervous, but I want to be with you. And if this is what you need and you think we need, I'm willing to try it. Be gentle with me. We're going to do this step by step. But yes, I'm.
And we're
going to
be praying together every day.
Exactly, that's a very big part of it.
Here's what I want you guys doing. All right, every day, Lord, help us to be what you want us to be for each other. Help us to be what you want us to be for our kids. Help us to be open to the relationship that you have for us, whatever that is. Right, because you don't know. And then you look at and help us to know what it would mean for us to work toward a healthier, holier relationship with each other. And you pray that every day together. And, you know, whatever you need to bring in of the day, you know, help us to use the stuff of today to have that healthier, holier relationship, right? And you bring in those details as well. But that's the framework. And you're bringing your relationship to God every day. You're reflecting on your relationship in light of the stuff that's going on every day and how you can use that stuff to lead toward a healthier, holier relationship and see how that goes. And I'm going to really encourage you to get some professional help because you've been in this place for 14 years. You need something else, new tools, right? So if you'd like to work with us and find faithful answers to this, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. I'm also going to really encourage you to read, both of you, read our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, because it really maps out what makes Catholic marriage different and what we have a right to expect of each other as Catholic husbands and wives, what kind of relationship we need to be working toward. And it's going to give you a lot to discuss in terms of, you know, is this what you want? Is this what you're called to? Are you willing to do that work even if you're not there just yet? But if you guys are willing to commit to that prayerful process, that process of seeking help and seeking answers and really walking the steps of learning how to love each other the way God wants you to, as opposed to just what comes naturally to you, then I would say that that's a healthy relationship, that even if it's not perfect, it's one worth giving a chance to and one pursuing perhaps marriage with. If you guys aren't willing to do that work or walk through that process, then it's important to kind of cut those ties, even under the circumstances, because you're without that commitment, you're putting your kids in the same position that you said that you never wanted to be in yourself. Right. And so this is, I think, will give you the courage to take those next steps and give you the support to make it happen.
And truly making those next steps, this discernment process, getting the help you need, praying together every day to bring your relationship to the Lord, that's what's going to stop this chain from your mother to you to your kids. They need to see that you're willing to work on this, that you're willing to rely on God on this, that you're really willing to be an active participant in this whole process and your spiritual relationship with God. That's how you're going to end up being the person you want to be and also the example you want to be for them.
I want to commend you both on making that hard decision to stay together for the sake of the kids, but to not be sleeping together since you're not married. I think that's tremendously courageous, and I want to commend you for that. But I want you to I want to challenge you to do the other hard work,
which
is really walking this process to see if you guys are both willing and able to work together toward the relationship that God wants you to have, as opposed to just settling for what it's been. Thank you so much again for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, again, the book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, I'd really encourage you to pick it up and read it together. I'd actually love for you to download today's podcast and play it for your boyfriend, and let this conversation kind of be a springboard for the discussions that really need to be happening. And if there's more that we can do to support you, CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks, Michelle, for the call. We've added you and your whole family to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825, the show today titled Baggage Claim. As we talk about leaving behind the old hurts, disappointments, the old patterns that we've gotten stuck in, how do we stop leaning into those hurts, or as Father Loya put it, slouching into our
hurts. Slouching into them. I'm keeping that phrase because it really is effective.
And instead start leaning into God's grace so that we can live the abundant life he's called us to. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come.
This is a powerful message, but it's more than just an affirmation, right? It is reality. You know, St. Paul is telling us here, we are not identified with or defined by our limitations, our sins, our wounds. When we live in Christ, we are a new creation. And St. John Paul reminded us to become what we are, become that new creation that we already are. It's not a matter of becoming something we're not. It's a matter of resting in God's grace so that he can reveal in us what is. And the more we do that, the more we can lead the life and have the relationships he's calling us to. And that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Back with more of your questions after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, baggage claim. We're talking about leaving behind those old hurts, those old disappointments, those experiences that have defined us negatively, and the patterns that we're trapped in. How do we stop letting those things define us and start leaning into a life of grace? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lydia, who's listening in Ohio.
Lydia, welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think I have some baggage that I am pretty tired of carrying around. In our early years of marriage, my husband was pretty volatile. He never hit me or anything, but if he was emotionally triggered, he'd throw things or break things. And the truth is, he's never really admitted to that or apologized. He didn't then, and he never really has now. And
is he still that way, Lydia?
He's not that way as far as throwing or breaking things, but he's still never learned to like hear another person's point of view or understand their feelings. He still reacts like he's a victim or disrespected when somebody doesn't, you know, seem to do things the way he feels like they should do them. And I didn't even know what a boundary was when I was young, but I've gotten better at that. But I don't think I'm great at it, but I see that spilling over into, I think it's spilled into our family over the years, but our grandson lives with us, and he just turned 18, and he was having a girlfriend over, and they were like laying together on the couch, and I spoke to him and I said, look, we've never established a rule, but I'm establishing one. You know, we're not allowing that in the house. You know, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't break a rule because there wasn't one, but now there is one. And then my grandson didn't come home last night till after 10 or 11. And my husband wanted to lock him out of the house. He said, well, if he's going to be mad at us for making a rule, well, I said, we don't even know that he's mad. You know, he just...
Was there a curfew that he broke by not coming home till 10 or 11?
No, he did not break a curfew. He did not.
Okay, so your husband just interpreted this as, you know, he was trying to get back at the two of you, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And he wanted to lock him out of the house. And when I challenged that, he told me he was just joking. I mean, he literally locked the door and took the key that we leave outside, you know, in case we accidentally lock ourselves out.
That's not joking. Okay. So how can we help you, Lydia? There's a lot here. So what would you like us to focus on?
I feel like I have long since recently I've been wanting to talk to him about our past and that it's never been dealt with, but I don't even know if he has the capacity to hear it, but I'm getting tired of this life. He can damage my relationships with other people that I love by his behaviors, and I just don't know what to do anymore.
Sure, sure. And let me ask you, do you guys pray together ever? Would he be open to it?
He'd be open to it if I did all the praying.
Okay. Well, look, I mean, that's a place to start. That's obviously not the end of it, okay? But the reason here's why I want to encourage every couple who's listening, including you guys, to pray together about this. It's not magic. I don't mean to imply that it is.
Right.
But in addition to it giving us grace, it creates a space for us to have that conversation that needs to be had, that ongoing conversation. And so Lisa and I will start every day saying, okay, God, you know, help us to be the husband and the wife that you want us to be, and right. to use the stuff of the day to love each other better.
And we're more specific with our stuff.
Yeah, and
right.
to learn the things that we need to learn to be the man and the woman that you want us to be.
And the thing is that when you pray like that together, you're able, as you were saying, Greg, to give space to having those conversations in grace, but to truly have them rather than trying a conversation in a way that's going to put everybody's defenses up. You know, if you come to him and you say, I need this from you, this has been happening all these years, he's going to pull into himself. He's going to shut down. Anybody would. It's a normal human reaction. But if you just start praying together every single day, in the way Greg just said, that opens the conversation for, well, what do you need from me today? What do we need to do for each other?
Since you prayed about it, maybe I will actually tell you what I need.
Yeah, and that could be, you know, simple things, or that could be, you know, this happened last night and I felt like it got between me and people in my life and I really want to talk about addressing it. But you're not attacking. You're not bringing up everything that's happened in your entire relationship all at one time. You're allowing God to come into it and open a space for you to have real conversations, probably for the first time ever.
Now, even if you're doing this, there's a really good chance that, based on what you described, that he's going to be defensive if you bring anything up. Because what you're describing is somebody who was raised in a household where it was never safe to be wrong. You know, when we're raised by parents that didn't make it safe to be wrong, who were heavy-handed in the way they corrected us, who were critical in the way they treated our misbehavior, we learn to just pretend that we never do anything wrong and never listen to anybody else's perspective because it's not safe to do so. Now, that doesn't make it okay. It just means it's reactive. It doesn't have anything to do with you, honestly. He brought this into the marriage, and he's just been playing this role for all these years, and you've all been just accommodating to it because you know what else to do. But I, you know, so he's going to still give you that same response, even if you're doing what we're suggesting, but it gives you a way to talk about it if every day you're coming back and you're praying through it and saying, okay, God, you know, this is what happened yesterday. Help us to handle this better and be the husband and the wife and the man and the woman that you want us to be. Whether he's willing to do anything or not, and because the other thing I'm going to suggest to you is to say we need to get some professional help. We need to be talking with somebody, and he'll resist that. He won't want that. That's okay, too. Whether he participates in these things or he resists these things, it does come down to you setting better boundaries with the inappropriate behavior, though, and not accepting what is unhealthy or unholy for this relationship. Again, like we were sharing with Michelle a little bit earlier, we know what God is calling a relationship to by doing what makes that relationship healthier or holier, or at least trying. And as we do that, what happens is we become more effective channels of God's grace, right? So as I'm working toward a healthier, holier relationship with you, even if you're resisting me, I am becoming a more effective channel of God's grace. And one of two things will happen. Either God will drag us kicking and screaming to the better relationship he wants for us, or that extra presence of grace will repel a person who is not attuned to that grace. And if that happens, then we didn't break the relationship. God is pulling us apart because he wants something else for us. But we presume that the person can do that work, and so we invite them to do the work with us so that God's will can be revealed for our relationship.
Right.
And whatever happens, ultimately, we are doing what God's asking us to do because we're working toward a greater, healthier, holier relationship.
And if he says, no, I'm not going to get help, I strongly encourage you to get good pastoral counseling on this.
For yourself.
Because he lives sort of in that victim mentality mindset, there's a good chance that after you've gone for a little while, he's going to want his side hurt. And he will begin to join you for this because he will want to, you know, straighten out the record because he doesn't want to be victimized by this. So go either way, you know, encourage him to go, pray with him daily, even if you're the one saying all the words at first.
But you're going to be the key to making this change. And that might seem unfair. That might seem unreasonable. It might suck. I mean, I get it. I mean, it's frustrating for us to have to be the driver, right?
But we're all called to be prophets. And in this case, you're going to be a prophet in your own home.
All right. And so that's ultimately how any change will happen and how God's grace will flow more in your relationship and enable you guys to be more of the family that he's calling you to be. I want to thank you for your courage in calling in. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. I'm going to encourage you to check out our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, to get additional tips. And if you want more personalized support, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I'm also going to invite you to download the podcast, today's podcast, and play it for your husband. And use this as a conversation starter for you guys to see what kind of help you want to get to begin to moving forward to revealing the sort of relationship and healing that God has in his heart for both of you. Thanks so much for the call. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks for tuning in. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.